The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
I think the hardest time to worship God is either when you're going through a serious struggle or when someone else is telling you how worship should be done. And it's my prayer, I know it's Jerry's prayer, that through this series that you will see worship in a different light and that you'll have a better understanding of what worshiping God is all about. We entitled the series Reaching Heaven, and the whole idea is that even though we're here on earth, we have access to heaven at all times. And I'm not just talking about through prayer, but I'm talking about simply every time we focus our thoughts on God, He is our audience. And so anytime that happens, it's like we reach into heaven. And it amazes me how many different ways there is to worship God. I was making a list, and I told myself I was going to make a list at the beginning of the series so that I myself would kind of begin to get a better understanding of worship. And so I started making a list, and I ended up with a list of about 60 things, 60 ways that we worship God. And I thought to myself, this series is never going to end. Well, we're not going to talk about all 60 of those things, but a lot of them can kind of be rooted down into a few things. So that's what we're going to be talking about, what worship is. And this morning, what I want to kind of do is say three things that worship is, and then because those things are general enough, over the next couple months, 2 or 3 months, we're going to be breaking down those things and really talking about how we can worship. Here's the thing. Everybody worships something. We are all built in with a desire to worship. And you could go to a culture that has never seen civilization, and you'll find that at the center, at the heart of that culture, is a desire to worship a being. And whether that being that they choose to worship is the one true God, or whether that is, you know, a rock, whatever it might be, humans are designed to worship. We're made to worship. And since worship is such a big part of our lives, I think it's fitting that we spend some time talking about really what worship is and how we worship. And so in order to do that, what I did this morning, and we're going to pray in just a second, but I kind of want to explain what I'm going to do. I took the word worship, and I did 3 word studies. Okay, the first one's on the English word worship, and the second one was on the Hebrew word, and then the third one was on the Greek word. And all of these words found in the Bible, and not obviously not the English word, but the English word is going to be our understanding of what worship is. And so I've broken those down, and then as I was digging into Scripture, I found some pretty amazing verses about worship. So let's pray and ask God to open our eyes, open our mind, show us some things that He has never showed us before about worship. Father, thank you, God, for the right, the privilege that we have to reach into heaven. God, you've made each one of us to be worshipers. In fact, God, I believe that when we're not worshiping, we're not fulfilling the thing that we were created to do. But God, I pray that our worship would be exclusive for you. That we wouldn't worship anything or anyone except the God that is worthy of our worship. Now, Father, show us some things about worship so that we can have a better understanding of how much a part of our lives it is. I pray that the words that I speak this morning would be your words. Thank you, Father. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. One of the coolest things that I've ever seen is a little kid worshiping God. Have you seen a young person, I mean, maybe not a teenager, but younger than that, worshiping God? I've seen that, you know, here at Remnant, there's one or two kids that I've just, when I see them worshiping, I'm just like, wow, they don't care what's going on around them. They're just focusing everything on God. And I think as adults, sometimes we get to the place where we're like, I don't really know if I want to worship God the way I feel like I need to worship God because, you know, people might be watching me. And so, you know, we might be afraid to go down on our knees. We might be afraid to, you know. I was reading the Bible, places where people were worshiping God. And you know what the number one position for worshiping God in the Bible has been, at least in my finding? Face down, on the ground, on your face. That sounds kind of weird, and if that happened here at Remnant, you know, people would be freaked out. Like, why is everybody laying down? You know, what's going on? But it doesn't mean that that's not a way that you can worship God. And you know, I remember when I was in junior high, I went to a camp, and they told us to find a quiet place and just go off and worship God. And I was worshiping God, and I was kind of singing praise, not like, you know, real loud, but kind of, you know, to where I could hear. And then I just felt the need to lay on this rock. And I don't know how much time had gone by, but I was just worshiping God, and I was just kind of laying face down. I'm imagining why people didn't send out a search party looking for me. Well, anyway, I guess lunchtime like came and went, and I didn't even realize. I mean, the time that I was there worshiping God did not seem very long, and before long I had missed lunch, and they were like halfway into the workshop, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, you know, back to earth. I got to find out what everybody else is doing. But it was just really cool having a worship experience like that. And I encourage you to worship God the way that God desires you to worship him. And the only way you're going to know that is by spending more and more time with him. The more time you spend with God, the more God is going to tell you how he desires for you to worship him. We're told in the book of John, matter of fact, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so with our very souls and our spirits, we worship God. We cry out to him. Why do we do that? Because he is the true God. And so our worship is not based on emotions. Our worship is based on truth. It's based on the fact that we know that God is who he says he is, and he's worthy of our worship. So three words. First word, worship. Reverent honor and homage paid to a personage or to any object regarded as sacred. My definition for worship came straight from the dictionary. I could have said, worship is an attitude, a prayerful, meditative attitude towards God. I could have said that, but you know, that's not the definition for worship, and that's not the definition that people think of outside of maybe the Christian community. And so you can worship anything and anyone. Anything that you think deserves glory and deserves your worship, that can become your object of worship. And incredibly enough, you can become a worshiper of something or someone without even realizing you're doing it. Because you do this. You pay honor and homage to something, a person. It may even be an object. Anything that you regard as sacred. In other words, anything that you would say, this is the most important thing. That's the object of worship. And I can understand why, as I'm looking through passages that talk about worship, why God kept saying, the Lord God is the only one that you should worship and serve. It was like he had to continually remind us as humans that it's easy to worship another thing or another one aside from the true God. And so since it's so easy to do that, it's something that we have to guard our hearts against. But like I said before, the more you understand God and the more time you spend with God, the more your heart is going to be inclined to worship God and not worship anything else. Okay, so that's our first word, worship. The next word, avodah. It's the Hebrew word for worship and work. The root word means to work or to serve. Now, I found this fascinating because I was expecting it to mean something like devotion or adoration. I thought maybe that would be a good root word for the word worship. But no, the root word in the Hebrew for the word worship is work or serve. Very, very interesting. Okay, well, we'll come back to that and talk about that some more. The Greek word, proskuneo. Greek sounds funny when you say it, unless you're from Greece. But anyway, if you're a white boy and you try to say proskuneo, it sounds weird. That's the Greek word for worship, the most common one that's found in the New Testament. As you know, the New Testament was written in Greek, the Old Testament written in Hebrew. So we have avuda coming from the Old Testament, and you have proskuneo coming from the New Testament. Okay, so it's a Greek word denoting the act of bowing oneself in submissiveness, outward posture reflecting an inner attitude of humility and respect. Okay, that sounds like a long definition, okay? But it's pretty descriptive of worship, and I think even of modern-day worship. You ready to see the root word for proskuneo? I think this is going to kind of mess with your mind a little bit. Proskuneo is made up of two words, the word pros, which means toward, and the word kuneo, which means to kiss. To kiss toward. This is interesting word study. Josiah recently picked up a habit, and I think Debbie thinks maybe he got it from Luce. When you say, you know, give me a kiss, it used to be he would just come up to you and open his mouth and just like, blah, slobber on you. Okay? But now he has this new thing where you say, Josiah, give me a kiss. And he goes, does that. And it's pretty funny. He thinks it's really funny, too. He likes to get real close to you, and when he's, like, drawing away from the kiss, he likes to smack you with his hand, like, so it's like, you know, contact there. To kiss toward, or to blow a kiss. This is very interesting that the word worship would have its root in the word kiss. Kissing is something that is intimate, something that is done between lovers. Let's talk about the first one. First one, the English definition of worship. Worship is reverence. Worship is reverence. You cannot worship someone you do not revere. And by revere, I mean have utter respect with a sense of awe. Okay, you cannot worship someone that you do not revere. If you do not have a deep down respect for something, if you don't have a deep down awe for something, if you're not just blown away and amazed by it, you really can't worship. Psalms 5, verse 7, the psalmist says, because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. With deepest awe. You know, we use the word awesome, and we use it pretty much to describe anything. Man, those shoes are awesome. And Frank plays the drums awesome. You know, we use it to describe just about anything. My new car is awesome, right, Athena? Yep. We use it to describe just about anything, because that's just like, you know, a word we throw around. But what does it really mean? It means that we're actually in awe of something. We're actually amazed by something. We're taken back by it. It's so incredible. Hebrews 12, 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. I love this verse because it not only says that we are worshiping God because we're thankful because of what God has done for us, the kingdom that God has allowed us to be a part of, but it also says it's the only acceptable response. What does it say? It says acceptably with reverence and awe. In other words, there's only one way to respond to the fact that God has allowed you to be a part of his kingdom, and that's with worship. It's the only response. And I believe that if you reflected on the fact that you were once lost, but now you're found, that God has rescued you from a pit, he's rescued you from the power of sin, and he's brought you into a place where you have been adopted into his family. You're a child of his. If you reflect on that, I think that your only response is going to be one of worship. And the Bible says that's the only response that we can have. Psalms 29, verse 2, I love this verse. It says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. What does it mean to ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name? To ascribe something would be basically to give credit where credit's due. In other words, to say, God, you deserve this. When I ascribe greatness to you, it's because I'm saying, God, you are the greatest. When I ascribe glory to God, I'm saying, God, no one else deserves glory but you. And interestingly enough, if you break down the English word for worship, it looks like this. Worth-ship. Worth-ship. It's basically the state of being worthy. God is in a state of worthiness at all times. There's never a time when God is not worthy of our worship. And the word worship itself says, you are worthy. I was reading an incredible description of worship before God. It's in Revelation, and you can, you know, look at it in your own time. Matter of fact, there's a couple of different occasions where the angels themselves are gathered around the throne, and they're worshiping God, and they're saying, you are worthy. In other words, they're saying, no one else deserves your worship. No one else deserves it. Worship is reverence. It's something that only God deserves. And when you allow something else to sneak into your life and to steal some of God's glory, if something in your life is stealing some of your worship, it's taken away from God's worthiness. Because God is the only one that's worthy. The interesting thing about worship is that in order to really worship God, you have to have a relationship with him. If you can't say, like the writer in Hebrews said, that it's because of my relationship with God, it's because of the right that I have to be invited into the kingdom of God, that I can worship him. If you can't say that, if you've never been invited into his kingdom, or if you've never accepted his invitation, you can't truly worship. Oh, you can worship things and you can worship people, but you can't really worship the one true God because you have no frame of reference. You have no basis for worship. You have to have experienced the thing that God is worthy of, our worship. So the second thing, we take this one from the Hebrew definition. Worship is work. Worship is work. That is probably one of the most odd statements. To say that worship is work, I mean, we think of worship as limited to a service that you have, or maybe a quiet time where you're, you know, spending time meditating and reflecting on God's greatness. And you don't think of it as being work. You think of it as being, you know, maybe a time that is refreshing, maybe a time that is relaxing, maybe for some of us, a time where you're just, you know, pouring out your heart to God, and maybe in that sense it can be exhausting. But I think that what we've come across here is a way to connect our service to God with worship. If the root word for worship in the Hebrew is to serve or to work, then wouldn't it make sense that in order for us to truly worship God the way God has intended us to worship him, that we would have to be working for him or serving him? I mean, do you realize that you can worship God by doing a task for him? And the task may not be something that sounds very spiritual. I mean, maybe that task is setting up chairs. But whenever you do an act or a service to God and you're dedicating that act solely to God, it's worship. Matter of fact, I say you cannot worship someone without serving them. Worship requires sacrifice and effort on the part of the worshiper. You can't worship God without serving him. If your worship to God is limited to 25 minutes on a Sunday, or maybe another time when you attend a church service, if that's the limit of your worship, then I believe you're not truly worshiping God. because I believe it's impossible to worship God without serving him, without doing work for God. How do I know this? 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought." In other words, every act of service that you give God, every work that you do toward him, God doesn't just look on that work, but he looks on the heart, he looks on the motives, he looks on the reasons that no one else sees for you doing that act. Worship is work. Luke 4:8. Jesus replied, "The scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So I entered the word worship into one of those word searches in a Bible program, and it came up like hundreds of times. But more often than not, the word worship was paired up with the word serve. Almost every time, especially in the Old Testament, it said worship and serve your God. It was like hand in hand, like a tandem bicycle. I mean, they were never apart. And I see that God is telling us through the strong connection between worshiping God and serving God that they go hand in hand, that one shouldn't be done without the other. And so if you're not actively doing something for God, you may have to examine your life and say, you know, am I really worshiping God the way God wants me to worship or the way God deserves for me to worship him? Worship is work. And sometimes worship can be very tiring. If you're working for God and you're giving it all you got and you're serving him, sometimes you can just be exhausted. That's true. You can go home at the end of the day and say, wow, I'm completely worn out. Not because I was busy running around doing stuff, but because I was worshiping God all day long. And the way I was worshiping him was I was serving him. I was touching the lives of other people by showing God's love. I was doing things to meet people's needs. And everything I did towards God because it was an act of worship. Worship is work. And the last thing, we get it from our Greek word study. Worship is intimate. Worship is intimate. You cannot worship someone intimately if you do not know them intimately. You cannot worship someone intimately if you do not know them intimately. Okay, do you remember the breakdown for the Greek word for worship? Toward, to kiss. Kissing is an intimate thing. Now let me prove that to you. If you walk up to a stranger on the street and you plant one on him, no bueno. That is not going to go over well. If you're a guy and it's a girl, she's going to slap you. If you're a girl and it's a guy, he's going to have the best day of his life. No. You don't just approach a stranger and kiss him. You don't just go running up to someone you don't know very well and give them this act of affection that really belongs to somebody that you're intimate with. I mean, whether you share that person as a family member or whether that person is your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, I mean, whatever it is, there has to be some sort of connection there. You can't just go running up to somebody and plant a kiss on them. That's socially unacceptable. But yet, it's so easy for us to go running up to a God that we don't really even know that well and try to plant a big wet one on him. I wonder what God thinks of that. I wonder what God thinks when you don't spend a minute with him through the entire week and you don't take the time to really get to know who God is. You don't spend time in God's word where he shows you who he is. And then you would go to a worship service and say, God, you're awesome. I worship you. I worship you. That's like kissing someone you don't know. Now, I don't say that to discourage you from worshiping God, but I say that because you need to get to know the God that you're worshiping. If worship really is intimate, if worship is something that is done by two people that are close Doesn't it make sense that we have to get to know God before we can really worship him the way that he deserves to be worshiped? 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. This is actually the same verse that I shared with you a little earlier. I'm just sharing a different part of it. David is talking to his son Solomon, and he says, "Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship him with your whole heart and a willing mind." That's a great verse, by the way. That piece of advice from David to Solomon, it capitalizes two parts of worship. The fact that worship is intimate and the fact that worship is work. Really cool verse. But what does he say? He says, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. In other words, Solomon, don't be distant from God. Get to know God. Get to know him intimately. So that when you come to worship God, you can kiss the face of God. It's not like you just walk into worship and it's awkward because you don't know him. Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. And the God of your ancestors, he was simply referring back to the fact that God had been faithfully guiding and leading and caring for his family all along. There was living proof that God was who he said he is and that he deserved to be worshipped. Isaiah 29:13, I'm sharing this verse with you because it's a verse that I think speaks against somebody who would try to worship God and yet not really get to know God. And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. In other words, it's just a habit. It's just something they do. Why? Because they've never become intimate with me. They've never truly gotten to know the God that they're worshiping. Worship is intimate. I love what the psalmist says here in Psalm 135, verse 5. He says, I know the greatness of the Lord, that our Lord is greater than any other God. And the word know there actually means experience. It's experiential knowledge. In other words, I know from experience the greatness of God. I have become intimate with God, and so therefore, I know who God is. I know God on a level where now I can approach God and I can worship him. I can kiss him because we're close. Is that the kind of relationship you want with God? Is that the kind of worship that you want to have? I mean, if worship is just a casual thing, just something to do, I mean, what's the point? Seriously, I mean, the music is nice, but, you know, what really is the point if we don't take worship seriously? And I think over the next couple months, God is going to take you to different levels in worship of him. Why do I say that? Because the more you understand about how important it is to worship, the more worship is going to become a part of your life. And I believe that if you take it serious and that if you really apply these things to your life, you're going to be able to worship God in a way that you never have before. And it's going to have value. It's going to have meaning. It's going to really be worship. You know, and I just broke this down from three words. There was actually like six words for worship that's used in the Bible. And I was looking at that and I was like, dude, I don't want to be here all day. I want to take the ones that are most important. Worship is reverence. You've got to respect the one you worship. You have to be in awe of the one you worship. Worship is work. You worship God through your actions. When you serve him, and worship is intimate. Don't try to worship a God that you don't even know. How do you know this God is worthy of your worship if you've never really gotten to know him? We're going to actually sing another song a song we already did once this morning, but I think maybe the second time we sing it, we can kind of think of it in terms of some things that God has shown us about worship. So it won't just be a song that we're singing, but it'll actually be a prayer to God saying, God, if I had it wrong, I want to get it right.
if I'm not worshiping you, God, the way you deserve to be worshiped, I want that to change. And maybe that can be the prayer of your heart this morning, that God would make that change in your heart so that you are worshiping him in a way that is really bringing him honor and is really the way that he has intended for you to worship him.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.